Ready to start some worship? I know you're ready to start some worship, aren't you? What? Sure. Well, Father, Lord God, I just pray as we all come together, Lord, as your family, as brothers and sisters, Lord, I pray, Father, that we're able to encourage each other and edify each other and lift each other up, Lord. And I just pray, Father, that I just pray peace here this morning, Lord. If anyone's come here, Lord, with any type of anxiety, Lord God, or any worries or any sadness, any anger, any fear, Father, Lord God, I pray that you help us just to lay it down. Help us just to worship you and know that we can have complete trust in you taking care of every situation, Father. Help us to rest in your love and your peace, Lord. Can feel free to stand if you want. No obligation.
Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain underneath my feet. Your love is a lifts me when I am surrounded. Your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love.
That part where it says, your love is surprising, I can feel it rising, all the joy that's growing deep inside of me. I don't know if you've ever been at that point where you either were hurt or you're really angry or you look at someone and you're like, I don't even know if I can like this person. And then all of a sudden you feel the Lord do this work in you and say, no, you can forgive. I've forgiven you. How many times have you messed up? And I've forgiven you because I love you. And then the Lord tells me, love that person into freedom. Don't hold things against them. Father, I pray right now, Lord God, that you give us that amazing agape love, Lord God, just that passes all understanding, Father. We don't know why the other person does what they do, Father, but we do know, Lord God, that when we make mistakes, you hold us. Sometimes you correct us and you show us our faults. But that's not so you can beat us down. That's because you love us and you want us to be better. Father, help us to want that for others as well, Lord God. Not to tear anyone down, not to beat anyone down, Lord God, but to say, hey, I think this is contrary to what the Lord wants, and I think the Lord wants better for you. Help us to love others into freedom, Lord God, and also to forgive freely, Father.
Thank you.
for me. Who brings the chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King that conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King that conquered the grave. Jesus, Lord God, you laid down your life for us, Lord. And all I keep thinking, Lord God, is that, Father, help us to lay down our pride when it comes to others, Lord God. When it comes to maybe us wanting to teach or encourage or just anything, Lord, I just pray, Father, help us to lay down our pride, Father. It rises up so easily, Lord, and sometimes we don't even realize it. You know, we might see someone that's a brand new Christian and maybe they're stumbling a little bit and our first thought is like, why are they doing that? What's going on? They know the truth. But Father, how many times did we stumble and you picked us back up? Father, help our pride not to rise, Lord God. Bring to our memory all the things that we've been through and how much you've cared for us and love us and still do right now, Lord God. We all make mistakes. Father, help us to carry each other's burdens, Lord God. To work as a true family, Lord.
On you through it all
be it for me to not be weak. Even when my eyes can't see, and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Going through this week, Lord. Father, I pray that you just bring those words to our memory, Lord God. You bring this song to our heart, Father. Through it all, Lord God, we know that you're going to guide us. And no matter what obstacles we face, Lord God, no matter what trials, no matter what sorrows we go through, Lord, help us to say it is well, because in the end, Father, I get to be with you. Help us not to focus on everything of this world that's surrounding us, Lord God, but I pray, Father, that you help us just to focus on the eternal, Lord God, the things that don't end. Everything here on this earth is going to end. It's going to fold up. It's going to go away. Father, you are eternal, Lord God. Help us to focus on that, Lord. Almost like that everything we're going through, this isn't the real, Lord God. The truth and what's real is when we're with you, Lord God. It is well.
It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is.
Good morning, everybody. You know, Lord, only your words. You know, one thing that even as we're singing that song, you know, regardless of what you got going in your life, or what's coming against you in your life, or who's coming against you in your life, you know, if you have your faith and your life, hey, Ray, built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, then no weapon formed against you shall prevail in Jesus' name. And it is well with my soul, and you can rest assured in him. I appreciate, you know, the word, and just so you know, if you guys are new or visiting, when somebody reads a word or whatnot, that's just something we have. Nobody's planned that. It's just that God has put a word on someone's heart, and so they share that. And so when that word was read, and it was just, I was just thinking to myself, you know, that story with Mary and Martha, you know, it's good. Martha wasn't doing bad things. She was just busy, real busy, doing lots of stuff, preparing, right? That's not bad, right? But she started to have that heart. Well, she needs to be doing this. And Jesus said something awesome. She said, you know, he said to her, you know, he said, you know what? Mary has chosen what's better. And Mary was sitting at the feet and listening to Jesus' words, taking them into her heart, taking them into her life, taking them, making them a part of who she was. And that's always better. You know, I think about, sometimes I think about our little church, and, you know, I was even talking with Josh just last week, and, you know, Gary, and we just, you know, Josh is like, you know, I don't feel like I'm a worship leader. And Gary's like, I don't know. I don't feel like I'm a counselor. I don't feel like a pastor. But you know what? God's called us to be these things. And so we do what he says, and our confidence is in him. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, and we may not be the fanciest church in town, You know, there's no smoke machines or nobody's rocking out on it. Which, you know, and if God does that, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But all I know is the main thing is going to be the main thing. And you know what we're going to do here when we get together? We're going to teach the Word of God every single time, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, so folks know what the Word says in context, so they're not going to be deceived by this teacher or that teacher during these end times where people are going to be listening to what their itching ears want to hear. And so don't get me wrong, I'm happy to have more stuff and money. Please, yeah, feel free. But you know what? The bottom line is, this is what we're going to be doing years from now if the Lord doesn't come back first to take us to be with him. Be doing the exact same thing, teaching the Word. Because God's Word, through his Holy Spirit, changes lives. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So, welcome to Home Fellowship Church. We're very, very glad that you are here. We do have some announcements to go over. Actually, I think we have about a million announcements to go over. So my teaching time's like 5 minutes. No. All right. Let's see if I can get this thing working. Oh, there we go. Okay, so first, if you don't know, we have got some tons of bread that we got last night from Panera, bags and loaves of bread and goodies. I don't even know how many those French baguettes, bags of them back there. And they're all free to take in Jesus' home. So after the service, feel free to grab a loaf or two for your family. We just want to feed you as a gift in Jesus' name as we feed you the Word of God, as that's given to us. All right, next. Okay. Now, you might notice that I'm wearing name tag, and some of us here are wearing name tags. And you might notice that there's always new faces. People come, people go. Wonderful. We're glad you're here. Some people decide to stay. Some people don't. It's wherever the Lord has you. But if you come here, we want to get to know you. And you know you, so you're like, why do I need to wear a tag? It's because we don't know you. And we want to. And so every morning, if you can get here a little bit early, there's a little place. Mark, I don't know where you usually set up. Somebody usually hands me a tag to make sure. Laura, by the lovely and talented Laura. Can you wave your hand right there? Okay, right there. And if you would just fill one out and, you know, you just put your name on there or a smiley or favorite scripture verse or whatever you want, just so that when other people talk to you, they can get to know you a little bit better in the body. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So thank you. Is there anything else you want to say, Mr. Manley? All right. So thank you for doing that, by the way, for you and your wife. And we'll continue to pray for Debbie. Okay. There we go. Okay, again, we don't take up tithes and offerings here, but we do receive them in a little bird box in the back of the church. And God loves a cheerful giver. You know, just to encourage you guys, I'm going to ask somebody to do something. Elijah, can I ask you to do something? I know we're very informal here at this church. Elijah, would you do me a favor? Would you go out in my vehicle that's, I think, up front? In the trunk, I believe, should be a box of DVDs. Did you get them? As you're doing that, in the meantime, there's a movie that's coming out by Lifeway Films, a Christian film, placed by Pure Flix as well. And Samson is coming to theaters everywhere February 16th. That's on a Friday. I think that's in about a week or two. Thank you, George. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate your help. And so we just want to encourage everybody to go out and see this film. I'm a little embarrassed that they somehow superimposed my body. Somebody else's head. Gary and I were talking about it. Gary thinks it's him. I think it's me. So we're a little embarrassed to put it up there. But why is that funny? Anywho, it is a Christian. The whole point it is, it's a Christian film. And it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Finish strong. And so this is coming out. Also, just to let all the youth know, I think it comes out again Friday, February 16th. That following week, whatever that Wednesday is, if I'm not mistaken, all the youth are going to be going to see this movie. Okay,
wow.
Is that right? And so any parents or the youth, if you guys are if you're a parent of one of the youth and the teens, we're all going to go see that movie. So if you could, on that date, bring $10, whatever it is, for a movie ticket, and we'll have some popcorn and fun stuff like that. We're all going to see that in youth group night on a Wednesday night. Is that correct? Okay. All right. Fantastic. Okay. Also, just to encourage you, I think my son's out there looking for it. Hopefully, I put it in the trunk. That's where I told him to look. Now I'm thinking, oh, maybe I put it in the back seat. But anyway, where is it? But just to let you know, where your finance is going. You know, we gave away a lot of Christian parenting books a couple weeks ago, and because we want people to grow in the Word of God, and this is also by Franklin Graham. It's called The Value of a Soul. It's about 30 minutes, and it basically presents the gospel. And I just want to encourage you, because your finances provided for this. This is in Sarasota. We had to do, unfortunately, a funeral for a 21-year-old that was killed on a motorcycle. A family, a wonderful family here. And so it was a tragic situation, but God opened up the doors that we were able to give, I don't even know how many of these gospel DVDs away, maybe 50, maybe 100, and to some folks that would not have normally, I would say, received something like this. And, you know, when we were at the funeral, even it was a, I don't know if it's, what do you call it, a motorcycle gang club? I don't know what that, but group, motorcycle group, club, whatever. And so, when the funeral started, you just hear all these motorcycles, you know, it's just a steady stream. You know, I don't know how many there was, 25, 50. Oh, you're awesome. Thanks. You the man. It'll be a big bonus in your paycheck. Twice as much of nothing. And so anyway, I just want to let you know, after the service, a bunch of people took this, and we were able to give the gospel. And as I was putting them on some of the bikes afterwards, I went out afterwards, so some of them didn't take them. And then a bunch of them came up to me. I thought, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. And after the service, and they came to me, and they all kind of gathered around me. I thought, oh, here we go. And they said, you know what, Pastor? I said, what? He said, if you put them here, they'll stay better, and people will get them. They won't sit on them. Here's another place to stick them. And then I was like, oh, that's great. He's like, hey, can I have one of those? Absolutely. Hey, can I have one too? Yes, absolutely. Here, let's help you. And so now I'm out. And I said, I'm sorry, let me go back and get some more. So I just want to let you know, you guys finance with all your giving and the tithes, the gospel is going out. Now, I don't know if those folks will ever even know this church here, but the gospel is going out and you're a part of that. It's just a wonderful thing. And so God used a tragic situation to get the gospel out. So I just wanted to let you guys know, be encouraged. And if you would, pray for those, because so many were given away. And they actually wanted them. They were requesting them, which was amazing to me.
These young men are moving friends just way too often.
Yes.
I mean, this is the second one that I know of, you know.
Yeah.
June was, you know, a dear friend. And then they got to know Zachary.
Yes.
Through her. And
yes. Yes.
And having to have, you know, like skin grafting.
Yes.
And I mean, this is just happening all too frequently.
Yeah.
So I think that they're ready to hear it.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and they need to hear it.
Amen.
Because they're not going to stop writing.
Yes.
Nope, they're not.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, just pray for them. Now that they've got this, pray that they watch it. They were challenged, so pray that they do. All right. Also, Holy Smoke Barbecue, we're looking for some volunteers. It's going to be for Sunday. Is that February 25th? I believe, Gary, at the Gamble Mansion. Is that correct? Is there anything?
We can actually use some help even before that.
Okay. So you got the microphone right there. Would you just grab it and say it then? Take it.
It's hot already? Oh, okay. Because we'll actually start cooking and shopping Wednesday that week. We'll have, I don't know, 100 pounds of pork that we'll need to pull probably Thursday morning or Friday morning. We need to move some stuff out to Gamble Plantation on Saturday. Whenever you can help, talk to Mark or me. We'll be grateful to have it.
And the money goes to Solve Pregnancy.
Yeah, all of our profits go to Solve, and typically we'll make somewhere between $2,000 and $3,000 in about 4 hours.
Yeah.
Explain who Solve is.
Would you explain who Solve is?
Solve is a. It's actually there's four homes right now for pregnant girls. They're Christian homes. They help them continue with their education, bring Jesus to them. Some of the testimonies of these girls, their lives are changed by this experience and that. What the enemy meant for bad, the Lord turns into good. It's amazing, the testimonies.
Yeah. And Laura, I also know if you guys ever want to do that for the North River Pregnancy Center, I am positive that 100% that we would love to do something like that to help raise money for you. So if you ever want to do that, talk to Gary, and we'd be happy to do that in Jesus' name. But if you want to miss church,
it's an approved Sunday excuse.
You now have an official Sunday excuse. Other than that, come in and hear the word. Okay, also, Secret Keeper Girls at the Bradenton Nazarene Church. For 7 to 12, it's basically a purity February 27th, Tuesday at 6:30 p.m., just to make you aware of that. Loving Hand Ministries, it basically takes addicted men, young men. Some of them are addicted to drugs, alcohol, meth, whatever, and it's a program, and God does amazing things. And so one of the folks from our church is in that program, Anthony, and he's going to be back. They're going to actually come. The guys are going to come and share their testimonies around Easter time, probably around in April, around 22nd. They're going to all come, and the whole service is just going to be them sharing what God has done in their lives. Wow. And so it's a great time. If you've been here before, it's amazing. And Anthony, for those of you who remember Anthony, you can't miss him. He's like tatted like from head to toe. He's one of our friends here at this church. He's going to be coming out, and he's going to be sharing here as well. So please be in prayer for that. I'm going to skip some of these things just to get to the Bible study so that we can start on today's Bible study. And one other thing that somebody has to say. Okay, sermon's online. You know about all this stuff. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, prayer Sunday mornings. Please join us this Tuesday, correct?
Yes.
This Tuesday, we're going through Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes, book by book, chapter by chapter. Tuesdays at 6 p.m., we will have some sort of man meat, barbecue, hot dog, hamburger, something like that usually.
Italian sausage.
Italian sausage. And then we'll do a Bible study afterwards this Tuesday.
If you want to study ahead, Ecclesiastes 5.
Ecclesiastes 5. Okay, good. That's this Tuesday. Wednesday is the Transformers Youth Group, 6:30 to 8:30. We'll see you here. And then Thursday night, barbecue and Bible study. This Thursday, I think we're going through the book of Mark. I think Gary's doing it. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, you don't want to miss it. Yeah, so come on out. We have dinner at 6 and then Bible study afterwards. We'd love to have you come. All right, we'll skip some of this other stuff. Continue to pray for our newly baptized folks as God's doing a real work. Okay, before we start in Colossians, as we race through the book of Colossians, we're going to have, we do a little financial report now every, I don't know, few months. And so Gary and Josh, I know we just love talking about money, but anyway, we just wanted to update everybody. So you guys want to come up and share whatever you're going to share.
Okay. Now, first, let me apologize. I printed out copies of these, and they're sitting in my briefcase at home. And I didn't realize that till a quarter after 10, so I promise I'll bring those in next week. Okay, what we have here is just a summary of the money that was received, the tithes and offerings for both 2016 and 2017, so we could draw a comparison, and then where we and how much we spent, and then there'll be a second slide showing a little more detail. As you see, in 2016, in the bottom left, we received just under $80,000. In 2017, after a marvelous message on tithing in November by yours truly, and that, yeah, well, giving went down 10%. If you do want to listen to the message, it's online, right, Georgia?
No.
Yeah, but maybe you shouldn't. Okay. Our spending for 2017 in that was at $75,000. which is about 4% greater than it was last year in that. So we're trying to watch our expenses in that. George, can you flip to the second? Okay. This pie chart shows you where the money goes. In somewhat broad terms, we broke it out into four categories: missions and benevolence, ministry, facilities and facility improvements. A mission, oh goodness, I didn't bring the list. It's things like Loving Hands, North River Pregnancy Center, Paul Cowley, who am I forgetting, Pastor? Christian Children's Evangelism Fellowship. Am I forgetting anyone? Anyway, that and benevolence. It happens occasionally. Somebody says, my refrigerator's empty and I can't get to payday. And we'll pass out a food cart or whatever to try to help somebody with a utility bill or whatever. That's in that category, and that's about 7% of our spending for the year. Ministry, DVDs, the books that Pastor Darren passes out, all of those things are in ministry. Facilities, utility bills, mortgage, facility improvements, things like the extra picnic tables and the lighting and all of that stuff. And it's, again, we spent about 4% more than we did last year in that. Beyond the financial stuff, though, is how we feel about it. And Josh, can I just hand you the mic and throw you under the bus?
I thought I was just going to stand and look up here.
Yeah, nice try.
Yeah, no, we were discussing this earlier this week, and this is my probably least favorite topic to talk about. I've seen churches misuse tithe and offerings in my Christian walk so much. But the encouraging thing that I was telling Gary and Pastor Darren is that this is a giving church. Probably the most giving church I've ever been a part of. We want to spread that gospel out. We want to equip the saints and the members of this church to get that gospel out to people. And so you even look at the missions and benevolence, you look at the ministry, you couple those together, is over 50% of giving. And then the facilities also helps facilitate us equipping the saints to do the good work. And so I'm very encouraged when we look at this chart. And there's not many of us that are rich. I am certainly not a wealthy person. But the giving is so important in this body. And it goes from the body out to those that are in need. And I think that's just so amazing. You look at the facilities, you know, it's 30%, 6% there. But again, we have food. We have a lot of meetings, a lot of fellowship that is so important in this time where we need to be strengthened and encouraged. And so I was super encouraged by this, that, boy, are we a giving church. And that's all of us included. We're able to do this and equip the saints. And so I'd encourage every one of us that to cheerfully give, you know, not under compulsion, but that you see the Lord's work being done. The books that are given away, I've never been part of that where I get to learn so much. I've had commentaries given to me that I've just dug deep in and really learned and was able just to kind of dissect the Word of God and have that Holy Spirit teach me. And so I'm just very encouraged by what this small little church can do. And so amazing. Let's keep on going here. Let's keep getting that gospel out and equipping the saints. And this is an encouraging message. This isn't anything that we have to do something under compulsion here. But it's just, I love seeing how much we give.
One other thought, too. Is in so many churches, the 80-20 rule applies. And that's where 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. And, you know, Pastor Josh and I, we've talked about it. I mean, this church, so many people are giving in so many different ways. I mean, and it's in every way possible. I mean, you know, somebody has to bring the trash out to the street. Somebody has to clean up after Sunday. Somebody vacuums. I mean, all of those things. You know, Jesus came as a servant. And that in servant leadership, that's important. We are absolutely blessed in this body. We may not be the wealthiest body around in terms of finances in that, but we are certainly one of the wealthiest bodies around in terms of the servant hearts of the people in this congregation. We are absolutely blessed that way. And I think I'm speaking for Pastor when I say that. But again, that doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt to have a little money in the bank account.
Thanks, guys. Thanks so much. And thank you guys all for just loving and serving, and it's wonderful. Okay, so let's get into the Word of God. Colossians chapter 3. Oh, hey, before we do, those DVDs, if anybody would like a DVD that we handed out, Okay, it's a story of basically four folks' lives. It's from Franklin Graham. Chris, would you just raise your hand? We just want to give it to you as a gift in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Chris. You want to pass it out, Caesar? All right. Raise your hand high, and we're just going to give it. It's free as a gift. It's only about 20, maybe 30 minutes long, and it is awesome. And so if you haven't seen it, yeah. Thank you, Caesar. Chris, if you wouldn't mind handing out Bibles, if you need a Bible, raise your hand. One will be brought to you. We are in Colossians chapter 3. It is well with my soul. All right. Okay, so we are in Colossians. As you guys are getting all those, please continue. Hand them out. Raise your hands. We'll get it all to you. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. The substance, supremacy, and sufficiency of Jesus Christ. It is well. We've made it all the way to chapter 3. This is not our home. We've talked throughout the chapter about the resurrected life. You know, what to put off from our lives, that God is saying, hey, if you're going to follow me, you need to take off these things, just like you would dirty, stinky work clothes, you know, muddy clothes, get them out. We don't want them in the house. You know, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, wrath, malice, anger, slander, filthy language, lying to one another. Get that out of your life. If you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, put that off, but put on compassion and kindness and patience and forgiveness and love and thankfulness and teaching one another and self-control and the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ in words and deeds. Put this stuff on you. Put it in you. Make it a part of your life, just like you would put on new clothes in the morning, as most of you did this morning. Some nice clothes, some clean clothes. We're in Colossians chapter 3, 18 to 21. We talked about the family playbook. Some very fun verses, you know. And the only way we can kind of live this life, it's talking about even in the family. And then we're going to talk next week about the work and the workplace. But, you know, it's because of the gospel. God changes our life. If you're trying to live this life as a religious person and make it work, you are going to flounder. You're going to be miserable. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, a supernatural power of the Lord working in and through us that helps us to live a godly life. Okay?
Darren,
yes?
If you go back to that other slide.
Okay.
One more. Go back to the things that we're supposed to. Yeah. If you look at the resurrection life, every one of those characteristics was lived by Jesus Christ when he walked on this earth.
Yeah.
And we studied earlier in Colossians where it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So if those are the types of things that we want to put on and we want to walk, it is not us that's going to walk them. It's Jesus Christ in us, yes, that can walk those things, yes, every single day.
Yes.
We can't do it in our own effort, but Christ in us,
yes,
can live that his life through us, and those define what his life is.
Yes, yes. Good, thank you. So we've been talking about husbands and wives, and we've talked a lot about that, so I'm not going to cover all that again. We talked about submission. We talked about husbands loving our wives, agape-ing our lives, and not to be harsh with them. We talked to the kids, you know, to obey your parents in most things. No, in everything, for this pleases the Lord. We talked about rebellion in the heart. You know, we're living in a time where, little Susie's just sassy and little Jimmy's just a brat, just bratty. Aw, isn't that so sweet and cute? No. Rebelliousness is as sin as witchcraft, and stubbornness is as bad as worshiping idols. God wants that stuff out of our hearts and out of our kids' hearts as an early age. Otherwise, you're going to have 50-year-old women having little hissy fits if they don't get their way, or 60-year-old men acting like little big man babies. That's what you're going to have, okay? And that's not okay. So we need to get that rebellion out. We talked about the stages of parenting, the commander, the coach, the counselor, the consultant. We talked all about that. We talked about fathers, or that word in Greek, pater. It means parents. Do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged, you know, because God doesn't want any bitter root to grow up in our hearts and lives. We talked about parenting. It's the toughest job you'll ever love, and some of the, well, or sometimes just the toughest job if you're a parent. And we've got through a few of these. We're giving you a dozen eggs, a dozen things to take home with you as a parent. And we went through some of these things. But the first one, just as a quick recap, was just don't think of yourself as a loser parent. Remember, God was the perfect parent in the garden, and the kids disobeyed there. So your kids have a sinful nature, and they're going to disobey sometimes as well. It's just going to happen. And so we went through a lot of these. Let me just scroll through them very quickly. The enemy just wants you to give up. So Galatians 6:9 just reminds us, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We talked about one of the things in parenting, avoid extremes. Don't be the helicopter parent where you're stifling your kids' growth. Definitely protect them and keep them safe, absolutely, especially in this crazy world. But if you're always doing absolutely everything for them all the time, you're going to stifle their growth. They have to grow as a man of God, grow as a woman of God as they age. You don't want to be swaddling them as a teenager, okay? So avoid those extremes, you know. Avoid the permissive parenting. You know, some folks were sharing last week how, unfortunately, that's what they grew up with. That was a reality in their house, and they paid the price for it. We talked about not to make sure as a parent we don't minimize or remove or be inconsistent with our consequences. We also talked about, that's so cute. We also talked about how important it is to encourage our children. You know, sometimes as Christian parents, we can give them all the right things and we're telling them the right things, but we forget encouragement. Every one of us need that. Isn't that true? Yes. Can I just be honest? I need it as an adult, mm-hmm. as a pastor, as a ministry leader, whatever you want to say, I need encouragement. Because the enemy is always, always, always out to discourage you. And so we read some of those things about, and I handed out a sheet. If you didn't get that, I think we're out of them. But on all the different ways to encourage your children and to encourage them in a way that brings them closer to the Lord. Okay? Paul, my goal was that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love. Colossians 2:2. And do not withhold good from those that deserve it. Proverbs 3:27. All right? And I think this is where we left off. And you're also, for those of you who know, you're going to have to pray for me as we go through some of these other things here. Because as I said yesterday, I was doing this funeral. I was like, Lord, and God really used it. And I'm so thankful. Now I'm thinking, Lord, you're going to have to show up Sunday now. That's my prep time. He's like, God's got you. So here we go. Here's a few of the things, and these are just recommendations as parents. Remember, none of us have it all together. Isn't that true? Yes. If there is anyone here who can say that they are the perfect parent, don't listen to them. Because they are absolutely not being honest with themselves. We're all going to make mistakes, okay? So these are just things for you from the Word of God that to help you to be a parent. And again, we're all God's children. So since it comes from God's word, it's all going to be true. So whether you're a parent, grandparent, if you're a kid that maybe is going to be married and have children someday, if you're just a child of the one true king, you've got kids around you, people that are growing up besides you. So these are all just go back to the word of God. Okay, so here's another recommendation. I think this is number 8. Don't be a prideful parent. Do you know what I mean by that? As a Christian, you don't want to be a prideful parent. I love Proverbs 26:12 in the New Living Translation. It says, there is more hope for fools than for people who think they're wise. You know, sometimes, you know, as a pastor, I have to say, I don't know everything. I have to go to the Lord. I have to go to his word for things. I have to pray. Same thing with a parent. You know, you may not know everything, but we go to God's heart. We go to God's word for these things to find out how we do this. If it wasn't for the Lord, I would be a terrible parent. I would be a terrible pastor. I would be a terrible husband. But through Christ Jesus, he has made in me something awesome. And he will do that same thing for you. But don't be a prideful parent. You know, we all make mistakes. We could all use help. The real key here, guys, is to acknowledge that you need help. Just acknowledge it. Ask him. Seek him. You know, ask God to teach us. Ask him to instruct us. Ask him to help us. And he's really awesome. He'll do it. You know, there's a common verbiage of pride. And I don't even know if you noticed what I did here, but I'll point it out. In the eye of pride, we put that in quotes, looks like little horns, doesn't it? The common verbiage of like a prideful parent, if we're being this way, God wants to get it out of our heart and out of our life. And usually it's a lot of eyes. Do you know what I'm saying? Like we handed out a bunch of Christian parenting books, all God-centered, you know, different authors. And now that parent might say something like this, not saying you, I'm just saying a prideful parent might say, "Well, I don't need any biblical-based Christian books to tell me how to raise my child." Okay. You know, or, you know, I don't need someone else telling me how to discipline my child. I don't need a parenting class that tells me, you know, a biblical parenting. It's all subject to interpretation. And it goes on and on. I've been through this before. I'm always around kids. I. Get that out. We all need the Lord. We all need his word. You know, as genuine believers in Jesus Christ, we all need to have teachable spirits, you know, and teachable in God's words. Listen to what God's word says about it, in accepting instruction and being teachable. Mom and dad, or this would go really for all of us. Proverbs 9:9 says, "Instruct the wise, and they'll be even wiser. Teach the righteous, and they will learn even more." You know, a wise man is going to sit and learn and realize they don't know everything, and they do need to learn more. The righteous are going to say, "Yeah, I want to know more. I want to hear more of what you say." You know, Proverbs 19:27 says, "Hey, stop listening to instruction and you'll stray from the words of knowledge." And I get so frustrated too when I see a mom or dad and they don't want anything more. "Oh no, I know how to handle these things. Oh, I know. Be open to the Lord showing you new things and God's way of doing things. Even if you did it this way as a kid or your parents did it this way as a kid, be open to what God is trying to teach you. Be teachable. Be open to that. Listen to advice. Accept instruction. You know, as somebody who's learned the hard way, right? I can be stubborn and prideful, right? Man, that does not work. God opposes the proud, the Bible says. That's a strong word, isn't it? He opposes the proud. But it also says this. I love it. He'll give grace to the humble. Oh, and as a parent, as a mom, as a dad, as a Christian man, I need God's grace, don't you? So have a teachable heart, have a teachable spirit, okay? Be open, be humble to receive instruction however the Holy Spirit leads. Here's another thing in this bag of tips or whatever you want to say about Christian parenting. Don't be a complacent parent. Now, wait a minute. Let me tell you what I mean by this, okay? I'm not saying you can't be a relaxed parent, right? Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying that. This is a dictionary definition I wrote down. It said a complacent parent is contented to a fault, self-satisfied and unconcerned. Now listen, from the very beginning, God's whole primary way to spread his heart and his word was through the family. Did you know that? Yeah. It's true. Our first job isn't our work or our school or bringing home the bacon or putting in the next. Our first thing is loving and obeying the Lord and teaching our families to do the same. Those around us to do the same, to love the Lord like that. I want you to listen to this. After God gave the Ten Commandments to his people, this is what he told them. And I love this scripture. This is in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You know, after he gave them the Ten Commandments, he said this to the moms and dads. He said, here's what I want you to do. He said in Deuteronomy 6:5, I want you to love the Lord your God. See, it's personal, right? I want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. The first thing that God is saying is, I want my heart and my word to be upon your heart first as a parent. You know, a lot of times, oh, we just need to teach these kids this and that and the other, right? We need to whip them into shape, don't we? They need to do what's right. And God is saying, no, I want my heart to be on yours. I want my word to be in your life, working in and through you, and then flowing out to our kids. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Listen, Elijah, I saw you raising your hand. Go ahead.
I was just wondering, you know, it says, love the Lord your God with
yes.
all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind.
Yes.
Does that mean put all everything you've got into him when it says with all your strength?
Yes, basically, yeah, basically he's saying, somebody asked me this. We had a kid that I was talking to, and they were saying this. It's a good question. And they were saying this. We were talking, and I said, you know what's the most important thing in your life? And this was a kid that's grown up in another church. And it could be this one too, but I'm just saying it. Grew up in another church. And I said, what's the most important thing in your life? God. Okay, great. I said, why? I don't know. Well, like when you say God's most important, right? What's the most important thing like in your life? Jesus. Right. What does that mean? Tell me what that means. Can you explain that to me? Like, how does that look? I don't know. No, but you're saying that God is the most important, Jesus is the most important thing, right? How does that look in your life? You know? Don't know. Have you ever thought about that? If Jesus is first in your life, right? If you're to love your Lord your God with all your might, soul, strength, what does that look like? How does that change how you talk to people? I don't know. And my 7-year-old son, if you know Ezekiel Truth, he's like a mini me. So he's like, I know. It's like, oh no. But he was so cute, and he's like, well, I think that means that we're supposed to follow Jesus everywhere we go, and we're supposed to talk about him, and when we do things, we're supposed to have in mind what makes him happy, what makes Jesus happy every day, and what we do and what we say. I think that's what it means. We're supposed to live our lives to make Jesus happy. And I was like, that was really great. Now, sometimes we can have the right answers, but it's not here first. And so mom, dad, grandparent, friend, he needs to be in your heart first. Okay? Then it goes on to say in Deuteronomy 6, after Deuteronomy 6, 5, this will be like Deuteronomy 6, 7 and 8. Oh boy, this is just not my, there we go. It says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts, mom and dad. You know, and then after that, verse 7 says, then I want you to impress them on your children. Then I want you to talk to them when they sit at home and when they walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. In modern English, that means when you're in the minivan driving to the store, when you're having a breakfast cereal, when your brother hits your sister in the head with the little toy car. You need to, we bring in the word for everything. We bring in the Lord, why we do things, why we're kind. And if we're complacent a lot about these things, our kids are going to be complacent too. I've watched this for many years. You know, I used to run a Christian school many years ago. We have a Shepherd's Heart Christian school here that I'm the administrator of, but also we had many years ago, we had about 110 families in a Christian school I was a part of. So I got to watch kids, and I've watched different parents, different denominations, and I've watched, there's one thing that's been consistent, and I want to tell you this. The children the children would usually follow their parents' heart. If their parents had a heart for the Lord and to obey the Lord and to seek the Lord first, to put him on their hearts, do you know what? The kids would follow in suit. Now, that's not always the case, right? Kids have their own free will. Isn't that true? Right? Kids are going to have their own free will. But the bottom line is, they're going to follow their parents' example. In other words, if you have that fire in your heart to obey the Lord and to live for Him, well, their kids are going to see that. Not because you're forcing it on them, because it's just going to overflow from your life. Now, here's the thing. If you're just trying to teach, let the Christian school do it or whatever, let the church do it, they're going to have that same attitude. It's not supposed to be done in a formal, preachy way. Just the Word of God is supposed to be so a part of our lives as you're taking it into your heart and life that it just comes out natural. You know, hey, Stephen, man, I love what you're doing, but, you know, maybe some more self-control. You could have used more self-control in that situation. Yeah. Oh, hey, you know what? I just so loved how you encouraged your brother. Oh, that was great. You know what? I think it was Nehemiah had a dessert that Zeke wanted, and he was so excited. He's the first one to get it. He's like, oh, this big M&M cookie. And Zeke's like, and there was none left. No, and for him, for Zeke. And Zeke's like, oh, I wanted an M&M cookie. And Nehemiah just did something. He's like, it's okay, Zeke. You can have it. And I was like, now this is an opportunity. Now it's an opportunity when they make mistakes, but an opportunity when they do well, right? I was like, that is so wonderful, thinking of others ahead of yourself, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? It's bringing in the Word and all these things and reminding them of what's true and good and praiseworthy. You know? Please spend time reading God's Word and any Bible-based parenting book that you can. You know, if you need loaners, we'll give it to you. If you want to read stuff, we'll put it in your hands, and we'll do it free in Jesus' name. You know, may His Word so flow into our hearts and lives. You know, it may so be a part, Him, be so a part of our lives that it'll just overflow into our kids' lives. That's how we should be it. And here's another thing, and I know this is, we've all done this, so I don't want anybody to feel condemned here, okay, guys? Do not sin when you're disciplining your kids, okay? Sometimes they can drive us batty, right? Sometimes as a parent, you want to rip your hair out. This used to be black at one time, or brown. Now it's gray. So, you know, the reality of it is sometimes when, you know, sister or brother get in a fight for the 10th time or somebody's whining and stuff like that, we can kind of lose our tempers. You know, it's only natural to get angry, but the Bible says in your anger, do not sin. Ephesians 4:29. Well, you can't be raging in the cage if you're a believer of Jesus Christ, knocking things over. That's not the right way to do things. That's not the godly way to handle things. If we're screaming or cursing out of frustration or disciplining physically, out of a loss of control of our temper, that's wrong. Our discipline should be administered with self-control. Listen, the Bible says in James 1:19 to 20, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. James 1:19 to 20. So understand that your anger, when you're like getting angry like that, is telling you something. It may be telling you that they're doing something wrong, but make sure that you handle it in the right way. You know, seek wisdom. Do it biblically. Allow the Holy Spirit to help you and to empower you to be self-controlled in your discipline. And one last thing, and I'll just say this. Now, this is hard to do. If you do make a mistake, which we all do and have done, is that right? So don't anybody leave here. You know, I've done, we've all made those mistakes. My wife, somewhere in here, yeah. Did you raise your hand right there? Yes, and so do I. And so listen, when we do, here's what we do. We handle it in a godly way, and even that will be an example. You said something you shouldn't have, or you know, whatever it is, then you go and you just say, you know what, son? You know what, daughter? Will you please forgive me? Your dad was wrong. I should not have done this. I should not have reacted this way. This is how I should have handled this. Okay? And there's something very powerful about admitting It's not easy to humble yourself, but there's something very powerful when you will say, as a Christian man or as a Christian woman, I was wrong. I handled this badly. And I ask for your forgiveness. Now, here's another thing, Mom and Dad. Don't just say sorry. Well, I screamed and, you know, knocked over the chair. Well, don't just say sorry. That to me is like take it or leave it. Do you know what I mean? Have you ever had a kid, sorry? I want you just to say, try this. Just, I want you to say, will you please forgive me? Say it with me. Will you please forgive me? And then name what you did. There's something very humbling about that. But even that will be an example to your children of Christ's humility. And they will learn that from you. They're looking at your example. Whether you want it or not, some of you are models. You didn't know you were a model. But you are a model. People are looking up to you. Okay? So make sure when you discipline, it's not in that sinful, sinful anger. All right, here's another one. Now, everybody, before everybody just decides to like go on the warpath when I say this, please hear me out. So if I see anybody heading for the door, I'm just going to say first, wait! All right, so here are just some parenting tips, a dozen things. Okay, here we go. Ready? Don't build up your child's self-esteem. That was funny. Somebody started to head for the door. Don't build up your child's self-esteem. Wait a minute, Pastor, what are you saying? You just got done telling us earlier, a couple weeks ago, that we're supposed to build up our children. That's our purpose, right? To build one another up? Yes, I did. Pastor, didn't you just say last week you went down all these different ways to encourage our kids? You handed out sheets, how to do it biblically. Didn't you say that? Yes, I did. But there's a difference between building up a child's self-importance or self-esteem than teaching them their esteem by God. Here's the difference. Building your child's self-esteem is this. One is teaching a child to ultimately focus on themselves, to be a worshiper of self. So if you're always teaching them to focus on themselves, to build up self-esteem, to focus on self, you're really teaching them to focus on themselves. Instead of teaching them that they're esteemed by God and to focus on God. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Do you see the difference? It's subtle, but it's a big, 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 big difference. The goal of our parenting is to make our kids worshipers of God, not worshipers of themselves, okay? So like pop psychology will tell us that this self-focus is a must for our children, and worldly books and magazines, I was even going to put some of those up there, but it was too much editing that I had to do. But basically it says if you don't instill this self-focus and self-esteem and self into your kids, then they're going to be big failures as parents. Okay, that's what it says. They're going to be, your kids are doomed for failure. And all the books and the magazines, they all say the same thing. But here's the kind of the crazy things, okay? And it's all, this is what our culture is right now. It's just all about the love of self. The essence of self-esteem is what? It's I love me. Instead of I love who? The Lord and others. Yes, Ray.
It seems to me it's the fuel for pride. The little I that you said quotes with the horn.
That's very, very astute. For those of you who didn't hear what he said, that seems like that's the fuel for I. For pride, the little I. Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, all that focus, here we are. If you look at this generation, and thank God we have lots of exceptions even in this church, but as a whole, this generation is the most self-inflated, self-important, self-centered generation that I've ever seen. Isn't that true? And we're like, we're wondering why folks don't have respect for others, respect for authority, respect for consequences, why they won't listen to anybody. It's because we're instilling that in them. That it's all about us and not about the Lord. Yes, go ahead. I don't know, we'll get you a mic.
What is the most, one of the most depressed generations in a very long time? When we
teach them to worship themselves. They're going to come to the bottom of themselves pretty quickly, whether they admit it or not. They don't even know it. I mean, they were created to worship God. So if we learn to worship ourselves, we're just going to see the bottom of that really quickly. And then there's nothing else that they're pointing to. And so they become very depressed. There's nothing to set their eyes on. You know, I know that if I was to focus on myself, I'd come to the bottom of myself really quickly. Yeah. And that's what kids are doing these days. And it's all about them. These families are creating their whole lives around their kids and building up their kids' self-esteem and every activity under the sun instead of just teaching them to love the Lord and how to be healthy human beings, you know?
Yes.
In that, they're teaching themselves that if they get all this stuff, that's how they're going to succeed.
Yes.
Rather than just stopping and saying, you know, what we're created to be is we're created just to worship God.
Yeah.
And
somebody has to stop. I mean, somebody has to say, is this really even a biblical goal to build this self-esteem? And honestly, it's just not. Okay, I don't know if you can see this, but this is the little difference between 1969. Explain these bad grades. And they're, you know, looking at the kid. And now today, explain these bad grades. And they're yelling at the teacher because, you know, it could not possibly be the child's fault because they're the center of everything. You see a little look at the kid. Yeah, it's not my fault. Isn't that true? Can't be me. You know. Isn't that the... You know, here's what the Bible says. And this is in Philippians. You can see it on the screen. But it basically says, with all this focus on self, here's what the Bible says in Philippians 2, 3 to 4. Do nothing out of, hey, what's this word?
Selfish.
Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility value others above yourself. Hello. So wait, could the Bible possibly be teaching us to esteem others ahead of ourselves? But isn't that the opposite of what we're reading and the world says? Yes. It says, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. That's why the Bible is so countercultural. Listen to this next one real quick. This is from Matthew 16:24, and this is Jesus' words. Listen, we're wondering why we have such a self-centered, self-focused generation, but we're instilling it in them, right? Here's what we're actually doing. We're turning them away from God. Okay, listen, here's what Jesus said. Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, here's what he must do. Build up your self-esteem. Did he say that? What's the first thing he must do? Deny self. That's the first thing. So if you're building all this self-esteem, it's all about me, Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, it's all about everybody's here. You're actually turning them the opposite way. If anybody wants to follow me, the first thing you must do is deny himself. Hey, it's not about me. That's where it starts. Your life is not about you. It's about the Lord. It's about what he wants for you, the direction he wants you to go, what he wants you to do. It's all about him. I'm just supposed to follow my Lord and Savior. I'm to put him first to seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the rest will be added to me, right? I don't need to worry about building up my self-esteem. I don't need to worry about being... How about this? This is crazy. How about we teach our kids to esteem others? How many parenting books, worldly parenting books, teach that? Zero. But that's what the Bible teaches. This is how we're to do this. And so if you ever even want to follow Jesus, the first thing you have to do is deny yourself. All right. So here's another thing. If you want to be a good parenting tip, this is going to be a toughie to hear for some folks. But don't be your, I don't know how to say this exactly, but don't be your parents, don't be your child's pal, be his parent.
Don't be their best friend. That's
right. Yes. You know what? He's got playmates and same-age friends that can be his friends. Now listen, that will change as time goes on and they get older, right? You can be their friends. But really, they don't need you to be their palsy-walsy. They need you to be their mom, their dad. That's what they need. They need you to instruct them and instill things in them. And you know what I'm talking about? The mom who wants to be the cool mom, who dresses and hangs out with their teen friends and lets them get away with whatever they want. You know what I'm saying? The mom that everybody thinks in the neighborhood, all the sinful kids think, she's awesome. You know, the one who's like, well, if they're going to party, let's just have them party at our house. At least they're doing it here, right? I was talking to somebody, having breakfast or lunch, I can't remember now, last week. And they were just sharing how this was their experience with their parent. And honestly, at the time, the same, everybody thought they were the best mom ever. But later, as this person grew and got hooked on things and alcohol and drugs and realized, oh my goodness, this mom was actually the catalyst for most of the stuff that he did wrong.
Mom or dad.
Just trying to be the cool mom, right? And now he's saying, you know, he was saying, because of my parents, because of allowing this to happen, now, actually, I have multiple friends. This friend, my best friend, is dead, addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol. This one's dead. This one's... Exactly. Don't be your kid's pal, be his parent. And if you're the dad too, I picked on the moms, but we can also be the dad. You know what I mean? Like the cool dad. I just want to play with my kids. You know what I'm saying? I work. I just want to come home and play. I don't want to be involved in instructing them in the Lord. I don't want to be a leader in my home. I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to discipline. I'm going to let mom do all that hard stuff. I don't want to read any parenting books. Please, I got things to do. Oh my gosh, dad. Just the opposite. God is crying out for you. Men, stand up, lead your family. Call out to him. Ask him to help you to be the godly man he wants you to be, to teach you how to do that. Right? That's what he wants you to be. Yes.
Could I say something about
no.
I remember when Debbie and I lived in Connecticut. And I had promised my son that if he started high school, we would not move back to Ohio. And something was going on terribly wrong with my daughter, and we had to get out of that environment. So I had to tell my son, I said, Jared, I know I made a promise to you that we wouldn't move if you started high school, but the Lord has told me we need to move back to Ohio. And if we don't, it's going to be very destructive to the family. And the only thing that means more to me than my word to you is my commitment to the Lord. So we moved back. And he was so angry with me at that point, he really wouldn't even talk to me for a year when it was over. And my daughter was angry with me that we ripped her out of that horrible environment. And it took years. But I think it was 2 years ago. We were all together as a family, and Jared said to me, with Debbie there and Missy there, he said, you know, Dad, when we moved back from Connecticut, I was so mad at you, but he says, I got to tell you, that was the best thing that ever happened to this family. And my daughter said the same thing. So when you're a parent to your kids, even in their late teens, sooner or later, they'll turn around, and they'll come back to you, and they'll go to the Lord first, but they'll call you as an advisor, as a consultant, and as a parent, and as a friend. Just don't quit and don't give up.
Amen. That's a good word.
Can I say something?
Sure.
We're talking about what I consider youth, okay? Until you're 30, you're youth. Okay, at my age. Yeah. All right.
Is it working? Okay. I have a 46-year-old son who's incarcerated. We don't know how long it's going to be. But I really need to share with everyone that no matter what their ages are, it is irrelevant. As long as you keep guiding them, you keep guiding them, the light will go on. Okay?
Yeah. I think that's, you know,
he's willing to take responsibility for his actions.
Yeah.
He's now reaching out to me and to you, because you know him, for any biblical material that he can get.
I love it.
Okay.
Well, first off, just because you said that, see me afterwards.
He knows his heart is with the Lord. He got waylaid into meth.
Yeah.
He's been there long enough. He's clean now. So now he's functioning mentally and going, I need to get back with the Lord. They can be 19 or 50.
Yeah.
And you can still guide them.
Yes. Amen. And you know what, too? That's a good word. We never stop. We're just honestly just big kids. And you know, even from the very beginning, you know, God defined the task, you know, as parents, not to be their pals, but to be their parents. You know, this is in this is back in Genesis. This is what God said to Abraham. He said this in Genesis 18:19. He said, "For I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him." So God is commissioning Abraham, and he commissions us to be the dad, to be the mom that he's called us to be. Dads, Ephesians 6:4 says this, "Fathers, don't exasperate your children, but instead bring them up in the discipline and instruction in the Lord." That's part of our jobs. It's not mom's job to discipline and mom's job to instruct. All the more, dads, it's God is calling you to take a lead in that and to learn how to do that. It's so important. Here's the last three things, and we'll go over them quickly because we've got to close out.
One thing too, Darren.
Oh, sure. Go ahead. Yeah.
Just going back to the not being your kid's best friend, but oftentimes when you take time to play games with your kids or you invest in that time, you're able to train them up in the Lord in that as well. So it's just not always this, you know, you're the authoritative figure and this is your child.
Right.
It's investing that time. And a lot of those times is looks like friendship, you know, playing games and doing that. But it's good training ground when you spend time with them. When you get home from work, you take off the work cape, you put on the dad cape, and you spend time with your children and invest in them.
Yes. You know, you can even teach them as you're playing a game to have the right heart as a winner or a loser and honor the Lord in that. You know, here's the last three things, and I'm just going to go over these quickly. You know, sure, Ronnie, absolutely.
Commenting to you over there about your kids. My son and I had such a relationship that God had my son right exactly where he wanted him with actions and words that eventually over through the years, they abused me so bad, tore me apart, and I had to get away from him.
Yeah.
And it was really hard because I loved him, didn't want to throw him out, but I ended up having to put a restraining order against my son, which was the hardest thing I ever did in my life.
Yeah.
As months and months went by, and the day I saw him again, to this very day, my son has changed his life. He sends me scriptures in the Bible.
Wow, awesome.
He encourages me like the way I should have probably encouraged him. But the relationship I have with him now is something that I have prayed for years. So it does work.
Yes,
it really does work. And
and
he's teaching me a lot. So we're in this word together. We talk about it a lot.
Yes, that's
awesome.
Thank you for sharing that. Good job, Ron. So here are the last three real quickly. I am going to speed through them. So, Lord, please, in Jesus' name, don't let anything be misspoke. Okay, so here's another tip I'm going to say. You know, this is, I would say, spank your children. Now wait, don't stone me. Here's what I'm saying. Some of us grew up in an environment that was not so healthy, okay? Where it's like, here's what I'm saying. A loss of control. I get so angry I can't take it anymore. Bada bing, bada bang, bada boom. That is not biblical discipline. Biblical discipline isn't something you do to your child. It's something that's done for your child. Do you understand? The heart intent is to correct them. That's the heart intent of a biblical spanking. Now, sometimes I get so mad, I'm like, ah! And I have to, honestly, sometimes I'll send my kid into the bedroom first if it's discipline of us, worthy of us, a spanking on his bum, right? And I'll tell him to go and wait for me. If I'm too angry, right, because I don't want to discipline in my anger, right? So I say, go wait. Now, sometimes that will be just a minute. Sometimes it's about 20 minutes. till I calm down. Then here's how we do it. And again, you bashed your brother on the head. Okay, was that kind? No. Why'd you do that? Because I was mad. Okay, did you sin in your anger?
Yes.
Should you have done that?
No.
Okay, what happens when you hit your brothers and sisters, right? You spank my bum, and then, but wait, Dad, no. You know, of course, I always get the no. But then, you know what I do? I say, come here, you know, you chose this, okay? And then I tell him if he's going to get one, two, or three spankings, I spank his bum, and I do make it hurt. I make it sting his boat booty. And then I'll say something like this. I'll say, did that sting your bum? Yes! I'll say, good. You know, and I'll say, because we want to help you to remember that is not how we're to treat one another. Your brother is precious to you. Others around you, God, you know, and we'll just go and we'll talk to him about that. Then I put him on my knee and I put him on my lap and I rub his back and I say, I love you very much. What do you think you need to do here? Pray. This was just happened. This is actually what happened like yesterday. Pray. Yes. And I need to ask forgiveness, right? I said, I think you should, don't you? Yeah, I was wrong. And then, okay, why don't you go ask forgiveness from the Lord? Lord, will you forgive me? And then, okay, I'm going to ask forgiveness of my brothers, and he goes off. Then we go about our day, okay? I don't hold it over him for the next 2-3 days, that lousy. It's behind us. Do you understand? It's corrective in nature, not just punitive, okay? Here's some scriptures. I think I have some in here. Okay, Proverbs 13:24. These are doozies. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Ouch! Now listen, don't get mad at me. Don't send me emails. This is from God's word, okay? Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. Now listen, I want my kid to like me, and I understand why people don't want to discipline their kids. And it hurts, it really hurts me to discipline my son. But I'm more concerned about that rebelliousness in his heart. He's going to be a little brat. See? Here's this. Listen to this one. Proverbs 13:24. I think I have another one in here that I like better, the translation better. Don't fail to correct your children. They won't die if you spank them. Physical discipline may as well save them from death. I just love that. So make sure you do that. Okay, here's a couple last quick things, the last two. Make sure when you discipline your kids, make sure you discipline, don't discipline them with the goal of outward behavior. Discipline with the goal of getting to their hearts. Do you know what I mean? How many of us have seen Christian kids where they know the right Christian answers? Do you know what I'm saying? Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, and they're very nice at church, and they can say all the right Christian words, right? And everybody externally looks so great, and everybody's like, wow, your kids are so amazing. And then when you get home, they're like bashing their brothers and lying and stealing. You know what I'm trying to say? The goal is to reach their hearts. Who cares if you have perfect little robot Christian children that say the right thing? Everybody thinks, I want their hearts. God wants their hearts to be right. That's the goal of parenting. Do you remember what he said to the Pharisees? I don't even know if I have a slide up here for this one. I don't. Okay, but you remember what he said to the Pharisees? They were what was called hypocrites. Hypocrites are actors. That's the Greek word for actor, is a hypocrite. And so Jesus was saying these religious leaders, he said to this, and this is a doozy. He didn't mince words. This is in Matthew 23, 25 to 28. He says, woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will be clean. He said, woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you actors. You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead man's bones. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. I don't want that ever to be said of me or my kids. Amen? Amen. And then here's the last thing, okay? And this is the last one. I just did a funeral, like I said, for a 21-year-old young man, okay? It was very sad. I had a hard time with it. But this is what the Bible says. You know, be very careful how you live. This is Ephesians 5, 15 to 16. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So this would be the last little parenting tip, and then we'll go back into the Word of God next week. We'll start going through verse by verse again. But basically, this is what I want to say. We're only here for a short while. I, you, me. The Bible says our lives are like a vapor. Mm-hmm. So I just want to encourage you, you know, don't miss out on that special quality time with your children. Love them, hug them, play with them. You know what? Talk to them. You know, whether they're 2, 22, or...
52.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank
you. Love on them and hug them. You know, having a lot of boys, it's chaotic, and we just have two extra kids with us now, and it can get crazy in the house, right? Just the decibel level, it just, you know, not to even mention the dogs, you know, it's like, you know. But you know what? I have to tell you, once those kids, when they grow up, and they don't have to leave, I'm just saying, but once they leave the house, you know, it's going to get very quiet. It's going to get very quiet. And you know what? Here's what I'm thinking. I would miss the noise, the playing, the laughter, even the fights. So I just want to encourage you, take your time with your kids, invest in them, love on them, hug them, remind them how precious they are in your sight, how much you love them, how much you love the Lord, and let that overflow in their lives. Make the most of every opportunity you have, because you don't know when that time is done. Amen. Amen. All right, a couple quick things before we close out. And then, yes, I see a couple hands. So do you want to say something?
As a grandparent, remember what the time that you spend with your kids when they're young and the time that they spend with you.
Good word. Good word. And as a grandparent, you can still pour in. How much more? Yes, and back there, Jen. I'm sorry, it's too late. You didn't have the microphone. No. Can you say that a little bit loud? I don't know where that might... Oh, can you want to bring it to her real quickly? Do you want to say it again? You're scared? Okay. Come on. You did it. It's great. Come on. It was good. You got to say it.
The time that you spend with your kids now will be the time that they spend with you later.
Yeah. Good word. And Jen, go ahead.
Got it. I love quotes. And one that I heard that's relevant to this that really hit me, I'll never forget, is kids spell love T-I-M-E.
Yeah, yeah, amen. And make the most of that time. Can I tell you something? And don't be like, hey, I'm spending time with my kids. Click, 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 click on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
I've been guilty of that, right? Trying to get in the extra call. Sometimes, can I tell you something? Sometimes people get mad because I don't return their calls quickly. Well, first, I get like about 100 calls and texts a day. Okay, but sometimes I'm not going to tell you what I do. You're very important to me, but sometimes I put that phone away. What? And the people, I get a lot of flack for that, a lot. But you know what? I want to make sure that each one of my children and my wife know that I love them, and I'm going to take time with them. And so for me, because I care about everybody, I'll always be on that phone. I have to put it aside sometimes and invest in my family. Okay, yes. Yes, Natalie, go ahead. Bless.
Well, you know what? Something that the Lord revealed to me about that.
Yeah. This is the last thing. I mean,
sometimes, you know, our first instinct is to always reach out to you or to somebody. And the Lord revealed to me probably more than a year ago, you know what? I do put the call out. And when God leads you to call us back, then he will. And in the meantime, we're to go to him.
Yes.
And I think that we need to remember that. Yeah. You are a person.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes
people
we need
that.
I know. But you know what? That's what he told me. In the meantime, you know, the Lord's there to comfort me. And we do need to express it sometimes to someone.
Yes.
But when it's the right time, God will have you call us back.
Amen.
And maybe sometimes he doesn't.
I will.
And that's okay.
Yes, I will. Good word. Okay, hey, praise the Lord. Okay, love you guys. Here's what we're going to do. We're just going to close out in prayer, and then I'm going to ask Stanley and Leslie if you come up with your son. And you guys can all go, but if anybody wants to pray for Ricardo, he's going to be leaving for Kentucky. Is that
Greenville, Kentucky?
tomorrow morning. And so we just want to pray over him. So you guys have a wonderful week. We'll see you at the Bible studies this week. If anybody wants to come up and pray over Ricardo for him going away, yeah, he needs it. We just want to lay hands and pray. You're welcome to come do that. Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, guys, have a great week. God bless you and know that you are loved in Jesus Christ.